क्षेमं सकच्चिद् युयुधानास्ते यफाल्गुणालब्धधनुरहस्यः लेभेऽञ्जसा दोक्षज सेवयैव गतिं तदीयां यतिभिर्दुरापाम्। क्षेमं ऑल गुड सह ही कच्चित् वेदर युयुधानः सात्यकी आस्ते इज देयर यह वन हु फाल्गुनात् फ्रॉम अर्जुन लब्ध हैज अचीव्ड धनुः रहस्यः वन हु अंडरस्टैंड्स द इंट्रिकेसीज ऑफ मिलिटरी आर्ट लेभे ऑल्सो अचीव अंजसा समरिली अधोक्षज ऑफ द ट्रांसेंडेंस सेवया बाय सर्विस एव सर्टेनली गतिम डेस्टिनेशन तदीयां ट्रांसेंडेंटल यतिभि बाय ग्रेट रिनाउंसर्स दुरापां वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू अचीव। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. O Uddhava, does Yuyudhana fare well? He learnt the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers. Translation, please repeat. O Uddhava, does Yuyudhana fare well? He learned the intricacies of the military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers. Purport. The destination of transcendence is to become the personal associate of the personality of Godhead, who is known as Adhokshaja. He who is beyond the reach of the senses. The renouncers of the world, the sannyasis, give up all worldly connections, namely family, wife, children, friends, home, wealth, everything, to attain the transcendental bliss of Brahman happiness. But Adhokshaja happiness is beyond Brahman happiness. The empiric philosophers enjoy a transcendental quality of bliss by philosophical speculation on the supreme truth. But beyond that pleasure is the pleasure enjoyed by Brahman in his eternal form of the personality of Godhead. Brahman bliss is enjoyed by living entities after liberation from material bondage. But Parabrahman, the personality of Godhead, enjoys eternally a bliss of his own potency, which is called the Hladini potency. The empiric philosopher who studies Brahman by negation of the external features has not yet learned the quality of the Hladini potency of Brahman. Out of many potencies of the omnipotent, there are three features of his internal potency, namely Samvit, Sandini and Hladini. And in spite of their strict adherence to the principles of Yama, Niyama, Asan, Dhyan, Dharana and Pranayama, the great yogis and jnanis are unable to enter into the internal potency of the Lord. This internal potency is, however, easily realized by the devotees of the Lord by dint of devotional service. Yuyudhana achieved this stage of life, just as he achieved expert knowledge in military science from Arjuna. Thus, his life was successful to the fullest extent from both the material and spiritual angles of vision. That is the way of devotional service to the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Atitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare So today on this auspicious day of Balram Purnima, by blessing and permission of all senior Vaishnavas, we'll try to glorify Lord Balram and Krishna and his spiritual potency. So here in this chapter, we are hearing the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava. So Vidura is asking questions about all the members of Krishna's family. So anything related to Krishna is very glorious and it's worth to hear. So in today's verse, Prabhupada very nicely explains that the destination of transcendence is to become personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are practicing devotional service. So that's the means at the moment. And the end is given here. What is the goal? So the real destination or gati is to become personal associate of Lord. So we are hearing about different personalities like Yuyudhan or Satyaki, Akrura and so on. They are all personal associates of Lord and they have a specific service to perform. So we are all also part and parcel of Supreme Lord and we have a specific service as well. And to realize that is the perfection of our devotional service. So in the scriptures it is said, Ramante yogino anante satyanande chidatmani. So the real pleasure is available only on the transcendental platform. On the material platform there is no pleasure. So this material world, as we know, is called as dukhalayam. It is a place of misery. And living entities come here and they try to squeeze out some pleasure out of matter. But it is not possible. And it is so hard, this attempt to squeeze out one drop of juice out of matter is very hard. So there is some reality in the sense that material pleasure is a perverted reflection of the original spiritual pleasure. So in that sense there is some reality in the material happiness. But it's like a shadow reality. The real substance is in the spiritual world. So the real yogis, all transcendentalists, whether jnani yogis, Ashtanga yogis or bhakti yogis, they are not interested in this material world. They don't try to squeeze out pleasure out of matter. Because it's so hard to obtain that little bit of pleasure. And it doesn't last. So that's the problem. And then the final result is that after that endeavor of trying to squeeze out little pleasure out of matter, one becomes very frustrated. But ramante yogino anante. So the spiritual pleasure is ananta or unlimited. There is no limit to it. So that's why transcendentalists, they try to aspire for that pleasure. Now within that transcendental pleasure, there is gradation. And Prabhupada mentions that in today's purport, that what are these, what is that gradation? So there are three levels on the spiritual platform. One is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So on Brahman level, it's a partial understanding of the Sat aspect or the eternity aspect. And on the Paramatma level, it's the understanding is of Sat and Chit, the eternity and the knowledge aspect. But the full realization is Bhagavan realization, where we get the realization of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Sat Chit Ananda. So Krishna is known as Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Ishvara Parma Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karan Karnam. He is the cause of all causes. So he is the cause of happiness also. So if someone wants happiness, he needs to approach the source or the cause of happiness. So material happiness also ultimately comes from Krishna, but he doesn't recommend it. In Bhagavad Gita, he clearly says that if you try to get material happiness, ultimately there will be unhappiness or dukkha, because we cannot get one side of material existence. It comes in pairs. So there is duality. So there is sukha and there is dukkha. So time and again in Bhagavad Gita and then Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna and other devotees, they recommend that don't go for this package of duality. Rather, try to get the spiritual package, which is full of unlimited bliss. Ramante yogino nante. So in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes that this is confidential knowledge. So the knowledge of Brahman, that you can get happiness which is out of this world, the Brahman happiness, that is confidential knowledge. But the knowledge of Paramatma level, can be said it's more confidential. But most confidential knowledge is the knowledge of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the most confidential part of all the Vedas. And Bhagavad Gita is essence of all the Vedas. So it's presented there very simply for all of us. If someone tries to get happiness on transcendental platform, it's very hard. So the jnanis and the ashtanga yogis, they try to get happiness on the spiritual platform, but it's also very hard for them. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanvan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlava. So among those transcendentalists, a person who understands that Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev is all in all, such a person is very rare. So by reading all these verses, actually it gives a lot of faith that what we are doing is nothing, it's not insignificant, it's the topmost thing. Even transcendentalists cannot get it. Bahunam janmanam ante. After so many lifetimes of great endeavor, not for material happiness, for spiritual happiness, still it's very hard for them to get it. But what we have got is the topmost, most confidential knowledge of devotional service. So, further Prabhupada explains there in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that one comes to Krishna or Supreme Personality of Godhead with different desires. So we have different motivations, different modes act, three modes act on all of us in different variations. So our desires are also, so many material desires are there. So that is the third class devotee. Third class in the sense is a beginner, neophyte. But eventually one should purify those desires. We cannot become desireless. We need to desire something as spirit soul, as living entity. We want things. But as we advance, as time goes by, we should purify our desires. Because what happens if we keep those desires and then somehow or the other we don't get those things that we want, then we become frustrated. And Prabhupada writes, if one remains on that platform of neophyte devotee, he will eventually slip away. He will come and then he'll go away. For some time he will do devotional service, then he'll think that, oh, I didn't get what I wanted, so he'll go away. So that's why we see so many people come to ISKCON and they do a lot of service. Externally we see they do very big service, but then eventually they slip away because of these unpurified desires. So we have to try to purify our desires and increase our faith on Krishna. And faith comes by associating with devotees and hearing about Krishna in that association. So a great devotee of Lord Prahlad Maharaj, he says that actually I am not afraid of this material world. This material world is like an ocean. But he says, I am not at all afraid because I am tasting Mahamrita, the great nectar. I am floating in the ocean of great nectar. So that's why I don't even feel any material pangs. So he says that. And so he's glorifying actually. He's glorifying this platform of devotional service. So by hearing these statements from Srimad Bhagavatam, from these great devotees, it gives us faith. So faith, it's like a, you can say, you know, faith is like a muscle. It's developing slowly over the years. As we hear more and more, so the muscle is getting strengthened. And then one day it becomes really strong. Become like iron. It's very strong, like steel. So then nothing can shake us. So the pure devotees are tested. All devotees are tested, and the pure devotees are tested on a higher level, but they always take shelter of Krishna. So it's very hard to understand for devotees that actually Krishna is testing us. So why is that a hard point? Because what we read in these scriptures, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, is that we have to develop our love for Krishna. Now if you want to develop your love for someone and he wants to test you, it's very hard to love such a person. Usually in material world, if someone gives you trouble, he's called an enemy. Right. So now here we understand that for devotees, Krishna takes direct control. For karmis, it's material energy, agent of Krishna who is dealing with them. But for devotees, it's Krishna specifically gives a particular trouble or a test. So that's very hard to think that a person who is giving me trouble, how can I love him? So that's the spiritual platform. So Krishna wants to test us that, are you ready for the real thing or not? So if we pass these tests, then Krishna gives himself. So the example given by Rupa Goswami is of a Chataka bird. So Chataka bird always prays for a cloud. because he drinks water from the rainfall. Now sometimes that cloud may hit the bird with a thunderbolt, but still it refuses to go on the ground and drink water. So that's like a pure devotee. So pure devotee prays for this love of Krishna, but although Krishna sometimes may test and give thunderbolts, but devotee doesn't go anywhere else. For him there is nothing else. Shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virayaname. So he thinks without Krishna there is everything zero. Everything is zero, void. So although Krishna is testing us, but we go to him. And the real, the proper mood of a devotee is, actually I should suffer more. This is nothing. What the suffering I am going through is nothing. I did so many sinful activities, I should suffer so much more. But Krishna is so merciful, he is just giving little bit. But in this relative world, what happens is, we see other people are suffering more, but because we are living our life, our problems look topmost to us. You know, daily if we go to internet, we see the news. People are suffering so much. But we, because we are on material platform, we cannot empathize with them. We cannot feel what they are feeling. We can only feel what we are going through. But a spiritualist is par dukha dukhi. So as we advance, we can feel others' pains as well. So that's why the spiritual platform is totally different. A pure devotee thinks I'm going through, my life is very easy actually. So this faith has to be increased. So by regularly hearing about Krishna's pastimes and hearing these words of these great devotees, that gives us faith. So Prahlad Maharaj further, he tells all his schoolmates that actually for devotees there is nothing unobtainable in this world. What to speak of devotional service, even material things, it's not impossible for a devotee to get that. And in today's purport, Prabhupada writes that Yuyudan's life was successful both from both material and spiritual angles of vision. So he received this military training from Arjun. So materially he was very competent, and spiritually also he was very elevated. So same thing Prahlad Maharaj also tells his school friends, that for devotees there is nothing which is unobtainable, because they are very satisfied, and they have satisfied Supreme Lord by their pure service. So the pure devotees are always glorifying the Lord, and they never ask for anything in terms of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. So dharma, artha, kama is within this material world, but even moksha, this happiness of getting out of this material world, even that is not desired by pure devotees, because they are always glorifying Krishna, and in that service they are fully happy. They are floating in that ocean. So that glorification of Krishna is that ocean of nectar. So daily we get this opportunity to either glorify or hear the glorification of Krishna. So if we continue that, so we will very easily reach on the spiritual platform. So here in this today's verse, Krishna is mentioned as adhokshaja, or one who is beyond this material sense perception. So many people, when we meet new people, sometimes they say that I don't need this book, because all these words that you see in this book, or this Hare Krishna mantra, all these words that form the mantra, they are all material. But God is spiritual, and I am very spiritual. I'm just not religious, I'm very spiritual. So I'll feel and experience God. I don't need this book. This is matter, right? This is this paper, and these words are written from material ink. So how can this matter express someone who is beyond this world, who is transcendental, who is adokshaja? So, you know, they give big philosophy. But they are putting a limitation on Lord. Lord is omnipotent. Why cannot he appear on this matter, in this material world? He can appear. So by process of devotional service, we can understand that. Materially, if we have so much scholarship, academic knowledge, we cannot understand someone who is beyond this material scope. So it is said, if you perform devotional service, starting from tongue, then you can understand Krishna. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jivvadav Swayam Ev Suratyada. So Krishna will manifest to those who are serving him. So if we perform this service, that's why we always mention, just perform this service. And those who perform this service, Krishna manifests to them. We cannot force Krishna to manifest that I have so much material scholarship and so many qualities, so please appear. We cannot force him. We cannot barge in the spiritual world. But it's up to Krishna. If he shows his mercy, if he is happy with our service, then he would appear. So it is said there are five forms of Krishna. So first we have to get access to the archa form. So archa form is so merciful that it's present right before us. So when we serve these deities of Krishna, they are non-different from Krishna. When we serve them, then we are elevated in our realization. And then we can access the next form of Lord, which is called Antaryami, or the Lord present within the heart. So when the Lord in the form of deity is pleased with our service, then we start hearing this voice from within. So Krishna is present in the as super soul in everyone's heart. But because we are so covered with material modes, we are not able to hear that voice. We are hearing so many other mundane voices. So that's why we have so many services. So today we had extra decorations. So many devotees were involved in that. Then you cook for the deities. And everything that's happening here in this community is basically for Lord's pleasure. That's why we read the scores. Whatever, you collect Lakshmi from wherever. But finally, it's for the pleasure of the deities. That's why we say, for the pleasure of their lordships. This is what we are offering to you. So when the lordships, these deities are pleased with us, then they start reciprocating from within as Antaryami. And then later, the next form of Lord is revealed. They are the Vilas form. All these pastime incarnations like Lord Ram, Narasimha Dev, Varaha. So we realize that these forms are not different from Krishna. They are exhibiting certain aspects of Krishna. And then the next form of Lord is revealed, which is called Vyuha. The Chatur Vyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So that's revealed. So Lord is present in this Vyuha form in Dwarka, where all these devotees like Uddhava, Yuyudan, all these devotees are present. So there this Vyuha incarnation is present. Sankarshan is none other than Lord Balram, and Vasudev is of course Krishna, and then their Krishna's son is Pradyumna and his grandson is Aniruddha. And then when we get realization of all these forms, then finally the topmost form of Krishna is revealed to us. And that's called the Paratattva, or the Para form of Krishna in his spiritual abode, Golok Vrindavan. So we cannot directly access that topmost form, but if we approach the deities, then slowly we will be purified and we'll be able to understand everything. So although Krishna is adokshaja beyond these material senses, if we serve Krishna, then he would reveal. Materialists cannot see Krishna. They say, if God exists, show me. But they cannot see. He is beyond your senses. So example is, the great example is of Hiranyakashipu. He was the greatest materialist. So he wanted to become immortal. So he asked various boons from Lord Brahma. So he did great austerities and penance. And then when Lord Brahma approached, he asked that, I want to become immortal. So Lord Brahma said, even I am not immortal, how can I make you immortal? Only Lord Vishnu can make you immortal. So then he had material knowledge and skill. So he said, okay, if you don't want to make me immortal, so just give me these other benedictions. So he thought he will try to cheat Lord Brahma and get the same benediction. So he said, you know, I pray I shouldn't get killed during the day, during the night. He said everything. I shouldn't be killed by anything living or dead. Like that, he asked so many benedictions. But because Lord is Adokshaja, is beyond material sense perception, he's beyond material intelligence also. So Hiranyakashipu used his material intelligence to ask those benedictions, but Lord was beyond it. So he came in a form, he fulfilled all those benedictions and still killed him. He was killed not during the day, not during the night, not inside the house, not outside the house, not by anything living or dead, because he was killed by the nails. Nails are neither living nor dead, you know. Although they are dead, but they grow, so they are living as well. So he killed him in a way that it was beyond his intelligence. So before Lord Narasimha Dev appeared, he asked Prahlad Maharaj that, show me your God, you know. He said, you are just foolish person. He actually referred Prahlad Maharaj as stabda and mandatma, that you are manda, you are foolish. You show me your God. You are saying God is present, you show me. But how could he see? He was on material platform. Prahlad Maharaj was seeing Lord Narasimha Dev because he was in love with him. So with love, Premanjana, he was looking at the Lord. But Hiranyakashipu was so lusty. That's what his name stands for, Hiranya and Kashipu, gold and bed. So how could he see Lord, who is Adokshaja, who is beyond this material conception? So then Lord Narasimha Dev appeared and then he killed him. So Hiranyakashipu represents our tendency to control. So he was controlling all the demigods. They would shiver. If he would bend his eyebrows, they would all shiver and they would serve him. So he said, I am controlling all these demigods. Why are you not afraid of me? How come you are fearless? So he asked, where are you getting this strength from? So Prahlad Maharaj was so innocent. He said, I am getting my strength from Supreme Lord, same place where you are deriving your strength from. So he couldn't understand it. So this propensity to control is within all of us. There is little Hiranyakashipu within us, as especially in Kali Yuga, as we know, the devotee and the demon is within the same body. So this tendency to control and have this power is within all of us. So a great moralist and historian, he has said that almost always great men are bad people because they have so much power. And he says power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If someone is not a devotee and some power is given to him, he will become corrupt and he will misuse that power. Power in itself is not bad because it's coming from Supreme Lord. Everything which is coming from Supreme Lord is good if it's used in the right sense. So all these personalities exhibit that Arjun was such a great, powerful warrior. So he gave training to Yuyudhana or Satyaki, who was the chief commander of Yadu dynasty, the army of Yadus. So they had such great power, but they never misused it. They used it for serving Krishna. So whenever we see these examples, we understand that these Kshatriyas or kings had great power. And actually it is said that the Kshatriya class represents mode of passion. They are so passionate. So all these kings had so much passion and power, but they always used it in correct way. It is said by a great Acharya, Veer Raghava Acharya, that it's mentioned by Prabhupada in fourth canto of Bhagavatam, that if all the citizens want protection and everyone wants to live very peacefully, then the society has to be arranged in four spiritual divisions and four social classes, the Varnashram system. So he recommends that. And then what he says is, these Kshatriyas who have got this power, they have to make sure that society is arranged into Varnashram system. Because they have the power of organization and ruling and controlling. So they must maintain and protect these all eight classes, four ashramas and four varnas. And all these kings in past who were Krishna conscious, they were doing that. Yudhishthir Maharaj, Arjuna, Parikshit Maharaj. We see they had great power and they always made sure whether this varnashram system in society is going on properly or not. So it is said that in Kali Yuga everyone is born as Shudra. But we see these different tendencies are there within the population. There are, even at present moment, many people have this Kshatriya tendency. So if you go see many people in army, you know, they don't mind fighting and killing. Most join army or police force because it's a career, you know, and, you know, it's good money. But there are some who have that courage. And in past also we see these examples. One example is there was a general, his name was Marshal Ney. He was nicknamed the bravest of the brave by Napoleon. So he nicknamed him. And then he fought so many battles, around 100 or more. And then finally he was caught and they decided to execute him. So he was so brave that he requested that I shouldn't be blindfolded and allow me to order the firing squad to fire me. He was so brave. So that's Kshatriya. So we cannot do it, you know. it's like, so he ordered, it's very famous that he ordered the firing squad that, please hear carefully my order. When I order, you fire, and please hear carefully my order, because this is going to be my last one. And when you fire straight at my heart. And then later he says, soldiers, fire. And then he died. So that's Kshatriya. So that's what Krishna is telling Arjun in Bhagavad Gita. You are a Kshatriya and you are saying, I won't fight. It's actually glorious for a Kshatriya to die on the battlefield. You will achieve the heavenly planets. So he defeats Arjun's arguments not to serve him. So we have also so many arguments that, oh, I can't do this service because this so-and-so reason. So Krishna defeats all our arguments. If we read Bhagavad Gita, all our arguments will be defeated. And then we can fully surrender. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually ordered Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami to excavate these holy places. So they went to Vrindavan and found Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, and they established these temples. So they established Radha Madan Mohan and Radha Govind temple. So the history goes like this. Rupa Goswami was very popular. And there was the Mughal king Akbar. He used to call him many times in his court to, you know, give discourse on bhakti. So he used to go there. And then Akbar had a very close friend and soldier in his army, Man Singh. So then Man Singh built that Govindji temple in Vrindavan. And later on, after many years, a great tyrant Muslim ruler, Aurangzeb, he destroyed most of the stories of Govindji temple. And at that time, the grandson of Man Singh was Jai Singh. He got those deities out of there and he took them to Jaipur. So that's why it's named Jaipur, because it's the city of victory. So it was a victory, and Aurangzeb was defeated actually. He wanted to destroy the deities and the temple, but deities were taken by Jai Singh. So these kings were present even 400-500 years back. They were real Kshatriyas and they knew how to protect Lord and citizens. Of course, Lord is protecting everyone, but they cared, they had devotion for Lord. So then Govindji deities were installed in Jaipur, and even now they are there. And Madan Mohan deities were transferred to a place called Karoli, and there were also these Kshatriya kings. They had their fort and they built Radha Madan Mohan temple. So these Kshatriyas, although they have power, they use it in correct way. And Lord himself appears in a Kshatriya family. So that's why we are discussing these members of this family. So this Yaduvamsh is a Kshatriya dynasty. It's coming from Yadu. Yadu is was the son of Yayati. And he was a great devotee. And we remember the story of Yayati from 9th canto. He somehow prematurely became old and he wanted his youth back to enjoy, and he approached his various sons. Then his youngest son Puru gave his youth to him. But Yadu was a great devotee. So he knew that Krishna would come in my dynasty. So he wanted to quickly beget children, and so that Krishna could appear very quickly. So this Yadu dynasty, they are all Kshatriyas and very powerful kings. So Krishna himself came in that dynasty. As we know from Bhagavad Gita, why does Krishna appear? He appears to protect the devotees and to kill the demons and to re-establish the principles of religion. And this thing is done by Kshatriyas. So that's why Lord Ram, he came in Kshatriya dynasty as well, Raghu Vamsha. So that's why these dynasties are worth glorifying. In first canto also it's mentioned, Aho alam shlagyatamam yadokulam, aho alam punyatamam madhorvanam. So this Yadukul is supremely glorified because Lord appeared there. So Lord is, he's not bound to appear by laws of nature, but he appears by his sweet will. So that's why this Yadukul is worth glorifying. So example is given by Prabhupada, like sun rises in the east. Sun can rise from anywhere, but because it rises in the east, it cannot be called as eastern sun. Sun is sun. So same way, although Krishna appears in this Yadukula, but he belongs to everyone. And all of us have got a chance to become a personal associate. And that's what Prabhupada is mentioning in today's purport, that the real destination or gati is to become personal associate of personality of Godhead. In Nectar of Devotion, there is more detail given about these various servants. And Yuyudhan or Satyaki's name is also mentioned there. Although Lord is fully independent, he was dependent on Satyaki for military art. So Lord is origin of all the skills and everything else. But he used to depend on Satyaki because he was the commander-in-chief. So Satyaki is actually a constant companion. So Nectar of Devotion explains that there are four types of devotees who are in the category of Dasya Ras. So there are four primary rasas. So in Dasya Ras there are four types of devotees. First one is the class, they are called the appointed servants, like Lord Brahma, Indra. They are appointed servants for managing this universe. And then second class, the second category, are of those devotees who are protected by the Lord. And third category is of constant associates. So Satyaki comes in that category. He is always with Lord in Dwarka. He is always with him in all these political situations, because king has to manage and he has many political issues, wars to fight, you know, kings to capture and so on. So Satyaki is always with him. And same is Uddhava. Uddhava is a constant companion. He is always with him. And the fourth category of those in Dasya Rasa are those who simply follow the footsteps. They are called Anugas. So it's very important for us to hear about all these servants, because our goal is to become servant of the servant of the servant. So if we only know Krishna and we don't know anything about the servant, then we are the beginner devotee, Kanishta Adhikari. He doesn't recognize devotees. He only recognizes Lord, and he recognizes himself as a great devotee. So to go to next level, Madhyam Adhikari, we must recognize these devotees and know their glories. And more we chant their glories, more we hear their glories, more we are benefited. So here Prabhupada talks about happiness, and real happiness is available on the devotional platform. So if we serve Krishna, Krishna will manifest in front of us, and then we will become constant companion of Krishna. So I'll end there and see if there's any questions or comments by senior Vaishnavas. Yeah, I saw last night there were many devotees decorating. I think Sucharu Prabhu made the background. Yes, yeah, they were the leading. Yeah. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. It depends on us. We can get that in 1 second, or we can get in many, many lifetimes. So if we are very sincere, it doesn't only depend on us, it depends on ultimately on Krishna. He can, whenever he likes, he can reveal. So if we are very sincere and serious, then Lord would like to reveal himself. So if we serve the archa form first, very nicely, so all these temple activities, we have various services. Recently we cleaned the temple room, and Janmashtami is coming, we'll have so many services. So all these services are to, in order to please the Lord. So you can contact Jayanitai Prabhu, he has many services. So if you do those services, then we can get to the next platform. We'll start reciprocating with the super soul. So it depends on us. We have to do sincere service. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mataji.
Just following up on
Yes, Prabhu. As much as possible, shoes should be in the shoe rack. Makes sense, by the way. Shoe rack is for the shoes. Yeah. As Prabhupada said, first we have to become conscious, and then Krishna conscious. Common sense, actually. Yes,
Prabhu. As you were mentioning in the start, one should not remain in a neophyte stage, because you gave an example that people come, they do a lot of services, and then they leave because they have unfulfilled desires, you mentioned. We also understand that one can only come to the path of devotional service if they have some past experience. Come and leave because of our food desires. Now, what's the cause for them leaving? Is it, you mentioned that Krishna is directly in charge when they come to them for these troubles? Or if they are just coming and going, means that means they don't even have any career. So they are in the material purchase. Okay. You mentioned the two categories.
So, question is, that if someone comes to Krishna and he leaves, why does he leave? Because they have come to Krishna and now he should be protected by Krishna, and he has some pious previous credit, that's why he has come. So why does he leave? So answer is given in Bhagavatam. There it says that although they may leave, and even in Bhagavad Gita it mentions, even if you do little bit service, there is no loss or diminution. So they will get the benefit of that, but it's just that they were not mature enough. So the word used in Bhagavatam is bhajan apakvot pate tato yadi. So although they have come to the lotus feet of Krishna, but they have fallen down due to their apakva bhajan. Their bhajan or devotional service was not mature. They were immature. So they came to Krishna, they have advanced one step ahead. So they may come later in this life or maybe next life. But that devotional service that they have performed will never go, there is no loss to that. So they had some previous pious credits, devotional credits, and they came to Krishna. So for example, they were 3% mature in bhakti, and they have again come, and they become 5% mature and they leave. Then they will start from 6% maybe next life or later in that in the same life. And then if they get mercy of a devotee, they will just pull that person. So that's why Krishna's representatives are all these devotees who are trying to pull these unqualified people as well on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Papi chap tapi jata chila hari name udharila. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given holy name, and devotees on his behalf, they are trying to deliver these fallen souls as well. So although one may leave, but eventually he will come back. And in same chapter, fifth chapter of first canto, it is said, once if one has tasted this nectar of Krishna consciousness, he cannot do anything but remember it. Even when they fall down, they always remember, I'm not deriving same pleasure as I was deriving by taking prasad or in kirtan. So eventually they come back. So they may go, but actually they cannot go away fully. It looks like they have gone, but they can never go back now after they have tasted this nectar. And I think it's getting late now. I'll finish. It's 5 past. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Taigor Pramandai.